Today on Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we're talking about that thing on my mom's brain. How would you respond if you had to have a life-saving operation and knew you could die? Would you recognize the lesson your illness was trying to tell you? Do you think you could stay present and mindful, or would you slip into fear and worry? Learn how to face a life-altering situation head-on as we continue our month focusing on your future self. Do you control your clutter, or does your clutter control you? On Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we'll teach you awareness as well as action steps to create change in your life. Come on, let's get started. Excited for today's episode because we have a guest. As you know, I rarely have guests. And one of the reasons is I get requests weekly, sometimes daily, to have guests on the podcast. Really let my intuitiveness guide this. Although my goal is to have people on that I know or have some kind of relationship with, because I know they're going to be awesome. It's going to be a good quality interview. Anyway, today I'm excited because this is a dear friend of mine. Wendy did a reading when we got married, she and her husband, Luis. And Luis has a great laugh. And I always share that because that's something I hope. One day, maybe my next lifetime, I'll have an awesome laugh. But you hear him laugh and you want to laugh. And her son, Noe's turning into this great man and young man. And anyway, Wendy's a dear friend. And my father is said to me on more than one occasion, you go through a really stressful life event and you have five people that'll stick by you, consider yourself a really lucky woman. And the older I get, I know that that is true. And Wendy and I first met, and I'm thinking it might be 20 years now, worked at a nonprofit. Wendy is she's a major gifts officer, fundraiser. Wendy got in a car accident and was hit from behind, I believe, and she got the guy to make a donation. I mean, who's able to do that? Wendy was kind of like the Pied Piper. She would go and do these corporate presentations, and she had one group that followed her around to three or four jobs because she was so awesome. She'd get, you know, like a corporate volunteer day, get donations. She's just an incredible fundraiser. And in that job we had, getting to know Wendy, that she's a good, honorable person. And I'm proud to call her a friend, excited to have her on the show today. I have been asking her, since this happened, it's been 5 years, whenever you're ready. And this last time she said, okay. Because she said, you have an open invitation because your story is so important when you want to be on the podcast. And so she finally was like, okay, I think I'm ready. And I asked her and she's like, okay, can we set something up at the beginning of the year and we'll do it. Anyway, she has a great story. And why I wanted to have her on was because talk about clearing your clutter and having in a moment a laser focus understanding of what really matters. Clearing that clutter, what is important. And I also wanted to have her on because Wendy got it. Wendy got her life lesson almost immediately. She was able to say, okay, I understand why this happens. How am I going to move forward? She wasn't in the woe is me. And I'm sure she had those moments. She's human. But her focus was, how can I change? What life changes do I need to make? How can I get better? And how, in typical Wendy fundraiser fashion, how am I going to make a difference in the world? And how am I going to support? And how am I going to raise funds for other people? So she's got a great story. Sit back and listen. I know that you'll be inspired by Wendy as much as I am. So let me tell you about today's guest. Wendy Santana is a recovering workaholic. She's also a wife, mom, and brain tumor cancer survivor. Wendy had a successful career as a major gifts officer where she implemented programs for four different agencies. Wendy, along with her son Noe, wrote the children's book, That Thing on My Mom's Brain, where 100% of the proceeds are donated to the Musila Foundation for Brain Tumor Research and Information. Wendy says that she's had more than 1,000 second chances to live and more than 1,000 second chances to get her life right. Welcome, Wendy.
Hi, Julie. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. I finally coerced you into coming on today. We are going to have a great interview. I'm very excited for people to hear from you. So in your own words, tell me about your story. What happened?
I'm assuming you want me to start with the brain tumor story and how it was discovered.
Yes, we don't have time for all the other great stories that you and I could tell, but we'll keep it focused on the brain tumor for this episode.
In October of 2014, just 2 weeks before Noé turned 9, I was lying in his bed reading with him. And all of a sudden, I couldn't move. I was frozen in a fetal position. And I remember trying to will myself to move, thinking, move, you can do this. But I was absolutely frozen. And then I thought I was dying. I thought I was having a stroke. I didn't know what was going on. I remember thinking, please God, not here, not now, not like this, not in my son's bed. And I actually was thinking I didn't want him to go through the rest of his life if I died in his bed, feeling like it was his fault. Mm. So what I didn't know at the time was that I was having a grand mal seizure. Fortunately, my son, Noé, called out to Louis, my husband, which you know, and Louis thought that Noé was, Louis took a little while to come in there because he thought Noé just didn't want to go to sleep. But when he finally came in, I was completely out of it, not conscious, and he ended up calling the paramedics, and the next thing I knew, they were taking me out of the house, and I was going in and out of consciousness. When I got to the emergency room, and I couldn't speak, so when I arrived at the emergency room, I was able to push out the word stroke, and that it took all my strength and focus to get that word out, and that triggered several MRIs, which I was going in and out of consciousness that whole time. And eventually they saw that there was, they called it a spot on my MRI scans. So they realized something was going on there, and they could identify that it was a brain tumor, and they thought it was malignant. And a few days later, a biopsy was performed, and it was confirmed that I did have a malignant brain tumor. At that point, it was a combination of denial and mm-hmm. and a little bit of euphoria because I didn't die in my son's bed.
Right.
So I was overwhelmed with gratitude, not realizing what was going on, sort of. So from there, they wanted to operate the next day, but Lewis wanted to get second and third opinions, and I just wanted to get it over with because I had so much anxiety. Thank God he did get second and third opinions, because we ended up at UCLA, and they ended up doing several more MRIs, which they called functional MRIs, and because the location of the tumor, by that time, it was slow growing, but it was the size of a golf ball, and it was in my left frontal lobe, so it was affecting my speech and my right side mobility. So they ended up doing brain mapping, and they had all the technology there to really pinpoint where it was, because it was literally split between two regions in my left frontal lobe. And so my neurosurgeon, who is one of the best in the country, if not the best, according to me and other sources, she said it was the size of a golf ball, but shaped like a football because it was split between those two regions. Well, she and her team were able to get the whole thing out. And I feel that I'm so thankful to my husband because he had the strength to persevere and seek out additional opinions. And I felt, and I still believe it gave me the best possible prognosis and chance and aftermath. I was able to have the best recovery, which I did come back to Long Beach and went through the transitional rehab services at Long Beach Memorial and had speech and occupational therapy and lots of different therapies, but because I had to learn how to drive again and everything, so, and speak and all of that. So I was fortunate that I was able to get that kind of aftercare. And I think that probably answers your question.
It does, but I have a quick question, if memory is serving, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce anything, because quite frankly, I think you're a miracle. Because, I mean, truly, one, I know you as a human being, and you never give yourself enough credit, in my humble view, but didn't I read, because I think if I remember, your dear friend that had come over to help was posting updates about you on Facebook. So that's how I knew what was going on with you. But if I remember correctly.
She came from Hawaii. That was my friend, my college friend, Jennifer. I really didn't want any visitors or anybody here. She insisted, and I'm glad she did. And she was a big help. Yeah.
And that's a good reminder. One, I learned the hard way doing an alternative medicine. I didn't have anyone advocating for me, and they scared the crap out of me so badly. I signed up for all these things, and years later, an acupuncturist said to me, like, oh no, we would never do that. That's in California, actually. They said it would be illegal. You just don't say you're going to have 500 treatments or whatever it is. But didn't I remember correctly that you, and I, again, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, you, whatever your particular tumor cancer it was, wasn't the doctor that you ended up with, wasn't that her specialty, or wasn't there some kind of what I consider like a nice little gift from the universe, like whatever her specialty was is what you had? And I might be remembering it correctly, so tell me if I am.
She has a great bedside manner, Dr. Linda Liao at UCLA. When we met her, she goes, oligodendrogliomas, those are my favorite, which obviously put us at ease as much as possible, being that someone was going to crack my head open and take that thing out. But yeah, at that point, I realized I was in the best possible place, and I did really trust that the universe had my back. And granted, I did write goodbye notes to my son and my husband and my family because I didn't know if I was going to make it through the surgery. But I was just glad I didn't die in my son's bed. And I was thankful to be at UCLA with my neurosurgeon because she and her team had my brain.
I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Now share with us whatever you want to. What lessons, what do you think some of the lessons you learned were?
I was a workaholic and a perfectionist. I'm still a little bit of a perfectionist. I was in a very stressful situation at work, and I was trying to do too much too fast. The signs were there. My body was giving me signs for several years before. And this wasn't the only issue that I had. I had another major surgery a few years ago that I never would have persevered with any of it if I was still working because of all the doctor appointments and stuff, because I was always overcompensating at work for not feeling well. When all this happened, I lost my job, and there were tons of lessons in that. But I did too much too fast and without enough support. And I pushed through all the messages that my body was sending me. If I had listened and slowed down, I was very sick and I didn't know it. So my messages are, listen to your body. I did go to my doctor a few weeks before the diagnosis, but she said, I only have 15 minutes, just because I complained just in general. I wasn't in tune enough specifically with what was going on, and probably it was all general. But now that I know the signs of a brain tumor, I look back and go, oh, no wonder this and this and this and that. But she's like, I only have 15 minutes. And I was misdiagnosed with several things and given medication and sent on my way. So I say, listen to your body, advocate for yourself, and don't be a people pleaser or a workaholic, which are lessons that I had to learn the hard way. Because in the long run, the people that were there for me were my true friends and family. And fortunately, my family was still there for me, even though I was neglecting them because I was overcompensating at work so much. So I got really lucky in that regard. But yeah, that's basically what I learned. The main things that I want people to learn from my story is people pleasing is bad for your health, and workaholic doesn't work. You have to have this self-confidence to know your own worth. And that there's a whole reason why I never knew my worth, but that's for another show or a book that I'm writing. You need to know your worth.
I'm so happy that you said that, because I often say you're good enough and you are worthy enough and you're loved no matter what. And in my view, it all boils down to that, because we're either hanging out in fear or we're hanging out in love. And when you feel confident, or you said are worthy enough or good enough, you say, hey, yeah, I'm doing what's best for me. You know, if the organization doesn't raise the funds, oh, well, I've done my job. I've done what I can, and I'm good enough.
Someone I was working with at the time, she was afraid I was going to make myself sick because I was working so hard.
Wendy first doesn't give herself enough credit, because she's a very loving person and easy to love. And she's going to get a surprise when she listens to the intro, because I brag on her fundraising skills, because that's how we met each other. You have all the answers you need within. Got Clutter, 365 journal prompts books, supports you in figuring out how to clear your clutter. Get control of your clutter so your clutter doesn't control you. Reclaim time, money, sanity, and resources. Choose from physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, holidays, or compilation volumes 1, 2, and 3. Free MP3 meditation with purchase. Learn more at reawakenyourbrilliance.com or purchase on Amazon. But I've been impressed with your entire journey, but because I know you and was following the updates, I was amazed at how you got those messages. You got those lessons quickly, and not everyone does. So why do you think you were so open to healing and change?
I was going to make a joke because the thing that was blocking me, my brain tumor, was removed, but
jokes are allowed.
I had no choice. I think the universe was trying to tell me for several years. When I look back, there were several messages, and I kept pushing through all the time, not listening to my body, not listening to my husband, just pushing through. And I think I didn't have a choice. And even when I was in recovery and I couldn't speak, I wanted to work with the speech therapist on job interview questions. It took a little bit of time for me to accept to accept my new normal. And I had a lot of support through the cancer support community and my doctors. And I just, there came, really, I was depressed in the very beginning because I didn't know who I was. I had suddenly, all I knew was I knew myself as a worker, and that became my identity. So suddenly I didn't have an identity, and I had to mourn that loss. I met a woman from there was a yoga class that I went to a few times through the cancer support community. And the woman that I met is a neighbor. And I think the reason that I went to those sessions was just to meet her. Because after I met her, I take yoga still, but at a different place. But she's a neighbor named Shoshana. Her name is Shoshana Siegel. And she was doing a meditation. And I only went to like one or two sessions, but I stayed and talked with her afterwards and told her I was feeling depressed. And she said, I want you to say yes to 25 things. And I was like, I'm a people pleaser. Why do I need to say yes? I was instantly resistant. She goes, just trust me, say yes. And that really was the turning point for me, because what she meant was she was teaching me mindfulness. And she gave me an example: when you're walking, say yes to the birds, yes, be in the moment, say yes to the breeze. What are you? And I asked myself that every time, often, several times a day, what are you doing right now? You're driving. What do you smell? What does it taste like? What does it feel like? Anyhow, I started saying yes. And then it was like, yes, I'm able to go to the bathroom on my own, because these are things that I could not do for several months after my surgery. And once you can't do that, and actually I had diabetes induced by my steroid for several months after the surgery. So going to the bathroom was a big deal. So yes, I can use the toilet on my own. Yes, I can take a shower on my own. I can stand in the shower. Yes, I can drive again. Yes, I can. Yes, I'm here. And yes, my son and my husband are here. Yes, you're here. Yes. I found it was very hard at first, but then, and I was literally counting on my fingers. One, that's one yes, two yeses, three yeses. But before I knew it, I integrated saying yes, and it completely turned things around in my mind, especially where the regret was regarding work. Mm-hmm. And I would think, I forgive this person, I forgive myself, I forgive. I still struggle with it a little, but I was able to. And when you're being mindful, it's in my opinion, it's hard to multitask. You can't be in the moment and be thinking in the past or in the future.
You can't.
So it's not just me.
No, it's not just you.
I'm very thankful that I learned these things and had time to practice them before it's too late. Yeah. I started my blog because I've always been someone who wants to share whatever I learn as soon as I learn it. And I put all of this in my blog. In what I just spoke about is a page called Gratitude.
That's fantastic. Now, first here, I'll just share something that I do. You went through a really, I can't even imagine it. But I always tell myself when things really suck that I'm like, eh, well, at least I cleared that karma. So I try to look at the bright side like that's done. What do you think, you know, this whole podcast is about clutter. And clutter is the metaphor, the term that I use. And any clutter is the insignificant stuff. What do you think as a result of your experience, like what insignificant stuff have you let go? Like an example, this is, my husband's going to be annoyed that I shared this, but it would bother me in the, like if he leaves his underwear and socks on the floor and I have to pick them up and put them in the hamper, in the scheme of things, that to me is insignificant. Like I'm not going to burn my anger energy on something dumb or something really petty even. So what do you think, what clutter did you clear?
That's a great question. And I've cleared a lot of clutter and I've used your book. I've cleared a lot of clutter, both emotionally and physically. It started with, I never even made baby books when I was carrying all that around with me, the guilt of not having the baby books and the guilt of not putting photo books together after we would go on vacations and stuff, which I would, my husband had to basically drag me on. I would go reluctantly, except for when we went for your wedding, but I would go reluctantly because everything was about work for me. And it's hard to explain that, but when you get your self-esteem from outside, and you don't have it from the inside. Basically, that's the biggest shift that happened in me. I guess you could call that clutter. I went from being so consumed with other people's approval to having it within me. I learned another great mantra that I say to myself, and I said it this morning many times. I learned it from Shoshana as well, and it's, I'm doing the best I can and my best is good enough. Anyhow, back to the books. I started with me going through boxes and boxes of photo albums. And then I had all these digital photos and so forth. So I spent a lot of time getting all those organized. And then I made a family photo wall, like a family tree for my son. And I basically just wanted him to have something. And I felt a lot better once I did that. Mentally, I had a lot of work to do to let go of how bad I felt about losing, not being able to work and losing my job. And I used to rely on my personality to connect with people, which is coming back. But I had to find other skills. And only because I had to, well, I didn't have to. I could have just not done anything, but that wouldn't have been me. My essence is to always accomplish something. I used to avoid writing like the plague and relied on my personality, really. And to get me through. And so once the clutter was cleared, I began writing. And I've taken a writing class. I even took a grant writing certificate.
Because, I'm very proud of you.
And now I am consulting as a volunteer with just a few select nonprofits that mean a lot to me. I'm doing everything more from behind the scenes, which is how development's supposed to be anyhow, but now I'm truly behind the scenes.
I'm going to just share. So Wendy and I met, and I can't remember if I talked on the intro. So, and I still laugh about this today. So Wendy and I were at this job, and there were, I think, six or seven of us, and we called ourselves the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, because it was crazy town. So when I first met Wendy, I was a grant writer, and Wendy is phenomenal and can go out and raise money like no one I've ever known. And I kind of chuckled because she was like, I was like, Wendy, I'll just write the grants. I don't want to talk to people. You go out and do it. I will give you credit. I promise. I'm just writing the thing. And when all of us were laid off but Wendy, and they couldn't have done it. Well, one, Wendy had, I'm keeping it real, just you had the better attitude. Some of us had stinky attitudes, and there was no, because at this point we were like, okay, this is nuts. This is really crazy here. And so they kept Wendy. They couldn't let her go. But the fact that you got your grant writing certificate, I'm so proud of you. I know that what accomplishment it is. And I'm on your list, sir. So you're a good writer. And I'm thrilled that you're putting yourself out there, because with all the internet trolls and keyboard warriors, for someone who hasn't had a brain tumor, it's stressful putting yourself out there.
Thank you, Julie. You're a fantastic grant writer. But you're also, I'm amazed at what you've done with your life. I remember when you left Los Angeles and you said, I'm visualizing finding a husband, finding a new career, and you visualize it and you made it happen, and you're living what you're living it. I'm so proud of you too.
Well, thank you. Now, the other thing I want to ask for is, how has this experience continued to help you focus on what matters most? Because, I mean, you've gone through significant, and I get that having your ego attached to your job or your vocation or one huge aspect out of your life. So how do you think this whole experience helps you to continue? Because, you know, you said at the beginning it was a process, like you were still like, I want to work with a speech therapist on interview questions, right? So you quit there. But what do you think keeps you kind of on the path of taking care of yourself and knowing, okay, this is really what's important?
Again, I don't have a choice. If I had a choice at this point, though, I would make the right one. My husband, I'm very fortunate in that he's very supportive of me in terms of getting my health back. And he says my number one job is to take care of myself. And so I have to be careful with my energy, because I need to have energy in the evenings for when my son and my husband are at home. I just need to conserve my energy. So I have to make good choices. And part of that is from acceptance, accepting this is my new normal. I forgot what your question was.
No, you know, about keeping on, how this reminds you to keep on, to focus on what really matters and letting the insignificant stuff go.
When I see them fighting, for instance, I'm so in touch with how fleeting life is. I wish that they could both have the insight that I do now, even though they saw me going through it. I think they forgot. Mm-hmm. But I never forget. It's always with me. So I feel like, don't fight over the little stuff. Like, just don't fight over the little stuff. It's a waste of energy, of everybody's energy, and mm-hmm. we have to learn to appreciate each other more.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now, is there anything else you want to share or that I have not forgotten to ask that you'd like to let everyone know? And it's okay if you don't. After that, you know, I'll remind you, I definitely want to tell you about, for you to tell us about your book and your website. But if you're like, hey, you didn't ask this, or I want to share that, now's your time.
I think I just want to clarify that this whole experience pushed me to figure out, to develop new strengths. strengths that I never saw were strengths before, but it got me in touch with my essence. Everything that I was accomplishing before had nothing to do with me. It was all about work. Now I'm accomplishing things that are real. I'm hoping that someone will hear this interview and it will help them. I'm putting myself out there. I've done a few speeches and stuff. I'm so much more present for my husband and son now, or for Lewis in a way. Actually cooking, which Lewis loves. And that took a long time. And it was good practice for my brain too. When all this happened, I couldn't have imagined that in 5 years I'd be doing this. You know, I was very nervous about, I hate talking on the phone. I was extremely nervous about this, but I feel like you said that it's meant to be, and that I do have an important message that I want to help anybody with a chronic illness or who's struggling. Because it's all the same, like, you need to listen to your body, and work is important, but it's not everything. Relationships, real relationships with your friends and family are what matters most, and listening to your higher self. My higher self told me to take this interview too, but even though I don't know what's going to come of it.
You've been brilliant. You've been absolutely fantastic. And I know that you have helped people, and you're going to continue to help people in the future. Now, I would love for you, and I'll put this in YouTube and on the show notes, tell people your blog, and that is there a link, or tell, I know we can buy your book on Amazon, but tell people about your blog and the book.
My blog is called Second Chance to Live. Second with the number 2, ND, chance, and then 2live.com. And it's called Second Chance to Live because Lewis would always tell me, you've been given a second chance. Because the rate I was going before, I was so wound up and just not paying attention, not in myself enough, not present and in my body enough. So this has really been a second chance to get it right. And I'm trying to learn every lesson that I can and then share it with people. Regarding my book, this is it.
You bought it. Yay. So those on YouTube.
It's called That Thing on My Mom's Brain. And it's available on Amazon and or through my blog, and every penny that is made from the residual of the book sales, because it's on Amazon, self-published by the Mucela Foundation for Brain Tumor Research and Information. So it's expensive to publish on demand like that, but every book that is purchased, the residuals go directly to the foundation. So my son and I did this a few months after my craniotomy. Again, I could barely speak. It was kind of the development side of me that felt I had to accomplish something. I had to do something and make it benefit people as much as I could. Noe actually did all of the illustrations, and we kept it true to what he did. And he was 9 at that point. He was 8 when all this happened, and then he was 9 when we were working on the book. We were able to get the Port of Long Beach Employees Club to do a fundraiser for the book because my husband works there. He's a manager. So we got the Employees Club to do a book fundraiser where they put multiple copies in every Long Beach library. and there's like 17 libraries or something. So that was pretty big, and it was successful, and hundreds of books have been sold, and literally thousands of dollars have been raised through that. And it was also good because it helped Noe and I to process what we went through. Imagine being an 8-year-old and your mom is lying in bed with you. And by the way, that was my quality time with Noe in bed.
Yeah.
So he would wait up every night for me to get home or to come to his bedroom. And that was our quality time at that point, because I was such a workaholic. And you're laying there, and your mom is reading, and suddenly this happens. Mm-hmm. So there were things that he remembered from the experience that I couldn't remember, and vice versa. Like, I had no idea that I threw up all over his room.
Oh, wow.
That's in the book, too. Yeah, that's in the book, too. There are also a lot of people that we wanted to thank, and the book was a way to do that as well. But most importantly, it helped us to process our thoughts and really encourage each other and get on the same page and talk about it. So that's what I'm hoping it would do, because it's so specific to us. So I don't know. And there have been people in the Brain Tumor community who told me they've read it to their children to help their children to understand what's going on with them. But I would further encourage people to do an exercise like this with their kids so they can talk about what's going on with them.
That's fantastic. Well, I want to thank you for coming on. I know I had to prod you a little bit, but you have been fantastic today, better than I know you're going to give yourself credit for. And I applaud your courage, because I know that it wasn't easy, and I know that it's just one other obstacle you've just climbed over. Your advice and sharing your story, I'm in gratitude. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Julie. Thank you for giving me a platform to share and try to share my message and for seeing the value in my story and what I have to share as well.
You're most welcome. On our next episode, we're talking about knowing when it's time to move on. Go out, clear your clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. When you clear your clutter, you can share your gifts with the world. Sign up for our free newsletter at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. If you've enjoyed Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, please rate, review, and share us.